In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's Gospel, we hear how our Lord Jesus Christ heals this woman who is described as having a spirit of infirmity. She was bent over. Her back was bent for 18 years. She suffered from the spirit of infirmity. Now notice how often the church has us read gospel passages emphasizing God's mercy and his compassion on the one hand, and on the other hand, showing how some people respond to that mercy with gratitude and with love, and how others respond with hard-heartedness and hypocrisy. This is a theme we encounter over and over again throughout the annual cycle, year after year. On the one hand, it says that the woman who was healed praised God. She was filled with gratitude, which you would think would be the natural response to this miracle, this incredible display of God's compassion and mercy. But on the other hand, at the same time, you have this ruler of the synagogue who has no gratitude. He didn't praise God. Instead, he was indignant, it says, indignant that Christ had worked a miracle. People should not be healed on the Sabbath day. That's against the rules. Whose rules? What's the purpose of the rules? Here you have the lawgiver, the one from whom that law of the Sabbath day came. And the purpose of the law is for the drawing of people's hearts closer to God. That's why we have the law. And instead, this leader of the synagogue is using that law, which is supposed to draw us near to God, he's using it to drive a wedge between people and God. In any case, Christ was working a miracle right in front of him and healing this woman who had suffered for 18 years, and his response was actually to grumble about the miracle. That's crazy. God himself, God incarnate, is right in front of you, and he's setting people free from every kind of infirmity. And if your heart was soft, O ruler of the synagogue, you would be filled with joy, falling down before Christ in worship. The thing is, in our sinful state, a spirit of infirmity can come upon us that's worse than the spirit of infirmity that this woman had. She met Christ and experienced healing, both physical and spiritual. Her life was straightened. She was filled with gratitude and with joy in response to our Lord. And that's normal. That's a normal, healthy human state. That's what you see in the saints, who are normal human beings. But the spirit of infirmity, worse than what she had, is this spirit of complaining, of grumbling, like the Israelites in the wilderness when the snakes came to punish them for their grumbling. Throughout the scriptures, that spirit of being discontented and of complaining about our lot is consistently rebuked because it's a disease that infects our souls and through us can infect the people around us. It can ruin everything. On the other hand, for us to see God always at work, always in the midst of everything, that's what we want to cultivate. This way of looking at things transforms our life. It's what makes it possible to say, like St. John Chrysostom, "Glory to God in all things." Even when you're being marched to death, like he was, or even just when you're having the worst possible day you can imagine. So here's something to ponder. This is a story that I heard an Albanian bishop tell to illustrate how we should always be grateful to God, because God is always at work to provide for us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. There was a Christian king with an advisor. This advisor was always giving thanks about everything. Whenever something would happen, good or bad, he would say, "Glory to God." One day the king was cutting an apple, and he cut off the tip of his finger. The advisor said, "Glory to God." The king was furious. He had the advisor thrown into prison for his insolence. Then a day came when the king was out hunting with his hunting party. He got separated from his party and got lost. Another hunting party from a neighboring pagan kingdom found him. They captured him and brought him to their court. They were pleased to have a king as a captive, and the pagan king decided to sacrifice him to their gods. However, before that happened, they had the pagan priest come to examine the king. He discovered that the king was missing the tip of his finger. The priest told the pagan king that unfortunately they couldn't sacrifice him to their gods because his body was blemished. So the pagan king changed his mind and decided to make that king an ally. So he let him go. And the king returned to his court and immediately asked about the advisor. "What's he doing?" he asked his family and attendants. "He's in prison," they told him, "and he's thanking God for being in prison." "Bring him out," the king said. So they brought him out. The king asked him, "I understand now why you said glory to God about my finger. But why are you thanking God for being in prison?" He responded, "If I had not been in prison, I would have gone hunting with you. And they would have captured me with you. And when they couldn't sacrifice you, they would have sacrificed me instead." So glory to God. Even when things look really bad, if we keep our eyes steadfastly directed towards Christ, He will continue to work with us in the midst of our situation, whatever it might be. Our God is the God of resurrection. He's the God who overcomes even death. Not even death is an obstacle that can come between us and God and His will and His purpose for us. Nothing, not even death, and certainly not anything less than death, is worth giving in to a spirit of grumbling or of despair. The advisor in the story was wise and far-sighted enough to look beyond the immediate moment to see how God was at work in the big picture. To see how God is at work in our big picture is what we want to cultivate in our life. First, the advisor trusted God, and his trust for God opened his eyes to divine wisdom and to see exactly how God was at work. Being a Christian means precisely to trust God in everything, to trust that all things work together for good for those who love God and who continually glorify Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.